There is a little story that comes from Russian folklore. It seems that once upon a time, there was a farmer who had cleared the forest and made himself quite a farm, growing things that he would eventually sell in the marketplace, which was some miles away, and they had to travel through a forest that hadn't been cleared. And he had a son who had always been, because he was small and didn't have any experience outside of his own home, this son, one day, the father decided could help him getting on the wagon and going to market and helping him unload his wares. And so that first day, they were traveling through the forest, which fascinated the son, the story goes. And they came across a sort of clearing. Sun was beautifully shining through, and where the sun was hitting the earth were these blueberry bushes, which he'd never seen before. He asked his father, what were they? He said, they're a delicious fruit. We can pick them sometime when we go into the forest when you're a little older and bake with them. They're very good. And the little boy begged. He said, oh, let me try them now, please. No, he said, we have to get to market. Please, he said. So this father, wanting to appease, because he loved his son so much and he wasn't asking a great deal, said, all right, get down off the wagon. I'll stop here. And then I'm going to slowly keep going. And as you are picking the berries, don't wander too far into the forest. I will continue to call your name over and over at certain intervals. And when you can't hear me calling you anymore, then run to me with all your heart. Obviously, it's a story that can be with any of us that we want to hear the voice of God in our lives. And when we don't anymore, even according to the scriptures today in Mark's gospel, run to him with all of our heart. Don't run low on sacramental grace. You are hearing the voice of God in your own lives already, otherwise you wouldn't be here. He calls us to come and adore, to worship, to sacrifice, which is what the liturgy is all about. There is a description of the Mass, among others, that is said we gather the people to tell the story and break the bread. That's what we do par excellence in the Mass. It's called liturgy. Liturgy in the Greek means work of the people. And the work of the people, whenever you are baptized, speaking of baptism, you're anointed with holy oil by the priest or the deacon. You're anointed in the role of priesthood, prophet, and king. Your lay priesthood is to join the holy order priesthood in offering the holy sacrifice of the Mass, in bringing your sufferings and bringing your joys here to God's house. And as all of us offer the cross to the Father, we are all offering our crosses, our sufferings, our joys, our penance to the Father with Christ in atonement for sin in the world. This is why we come to Mass. To appease the Lord, when so many people are backing away from him. And I use that term because the word repent means to change my mind. It's a scriptural word, again, in the New Testament, and in the Greek it's metanoia. And we are called to metanoia, to change of mind and to change of heart. And we don't do that on our own. We do it by listening to the voice of God. God who, my word for the Holy Spirit, my own experience is, he pesters. He pesters and he pummels. And he wants us to run to him with our whole heart. And we do that in bringing our children to baptism. It's important to baptize children and to be baptized. You realize that without baptism, a soul is much more exposed to the influences of Lucifer. We are subject to his kingdom anyway, because of concupiscence, that weak part of myself that is left over from baptismal grace. God gives us sanctifying grace, grace to be healthy, actual grace, grace in action, habitual grace to take the place of habitual sin. That all begins with baptism. And so when we approach the sacrament of baptism, there's a dying and rising that goes on. Baptism means to dip. We go down in the water and we come up. And when we go down, it's like an imitation, a metaphor of Christ going into death and then rising. He restores for us the opportunities for everlasting life as he takes on our sins, and we join him in our own penances, in offering our atonement, our wanting to change our minds, with the help of God's grace that comes from the triumph of the cross to the Father. Stay away from the Mass and stay away from baptism and stay away from confession. We run low, as you know, on sacramental grace. Think of it now, how God is always initiating. We respond. You know, when I was growing up, there was a thought that went like this. I do something and God is pleased. I decided to do it and the Lord is soothed and graces us. That was in a place for reasons that I won't go into, the fact that it all depends on me. What the Second Vatican Council restored is this, that God initiates and we respond. He's the first mover, his philosophy would say. So just think about how God is always initiating for us, and all we have to do is respond. That will mean changing my mind and not doing just what I want, but I know he wants. And what does he want? We'll read the Catechism and read the Scriptures and read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We just celebrated the feast of the Immaculate Conception of our Blessed Mother on Friday, a holy day of obligation. Think of how God initiates in that particular instant. And in the fullness of time, especially through the Church prior to the Second Vatican Council, the people of God believed, the person in the pew, that our Blessed Mother was conceived without original sin, so that she would be made worthy to bring the Son of God into the world, and so she is the Mother of God, is one of her titles. She said yes. He initiated, she responded. Thanks be to God. And so we have this redemption activity that we participate in until the second coming, of atoning for our sins and repenting, changing our minds, as well as our hearts, which is often influenced by AI and whatever else is going on in our own histories, that the devil whispers, reminding us of this sin or that betrayal or that hurt or that wound or that disappointment, and we can shut ourselves down and we no longer listen to this voice of the Holy Spirit. It's talked about in the responsorial psalm. And so she responded as we are to respond. We are affected by the influence of our parents' disobedience. But because of the Blessed Mother's being spared the effects of original sin, we are incorporated as Christ is the head and we are the members. And she especially helps us through the prayer of the Holy Rosary, where many gifts are given to us to melt our hearts and change the darkness of our minds and set our purpose in our agenda into doing the will of God, which is to live according to his mercy and thank him constantly for what he does for us. Yesterday we had the feast of St. Juan Diego, who had the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe, whose feast is this coming Tuesday. In both cases, once more God initiated, sending the Blessed Mother to Juan Diego, wanting the bishop to consecrate all of Mexico to our Blessed Mother. And as you know, 3,000 to 5,000 people very shortly after that apparition, when it was sanctioned, came into the Catholic Church. Mexico is dedicated to Our Lady of Guadalupe. She initiated that at the behest of God, coming to Juan Diego. We celebrated the Immaculate Conception. She is the patron of the United States, which is why we have the statue next to the American flag in our churches. And so he initiated sending her. And we come and we respond as a community and dedicate ourselves to her under the patronage of the Blessed Mother of all graces of the Immaculate Conception. You know, I heard on the news the other day in a Catholic station that in England, the Anglican Church has just changed their baptismal ritual. Speaking of ritual, they have deleted two concepts in their new ritual that has been promulgated and sent out to all of the British Isles or whoever is under this monarchy of England. What they changed is they have deleted the word sinner, and they have deleted the whole concept of even mentioning the devil. Why? Interesting. God initiates and we respond. Well, how do we respond? Please God, with faithfulness. It's that woke stuff. They don't want to offend anybody by making them or calling them a sinner. And they don't want to frighten anyone by talking about the fact that there is a devil. Compromise goes on all the time. There's such a thing as listening to the voice of God, who's always initiating him to approach his mercy. That's what the confessional is all about. You know, there are signs and symbols in our Catholic faith. I want you to realize that when you look at a confessional in a Catholic church, there's an outward sign of the inner manifestation of the mercy of God. God initiates that we approach him in the sacrament of confession. He initiates, indeed, he pesters us. And the priest, as I always say, the confessor had better honor that person whenever they come, because God only knows what that person has gone through in fighting the good fight and the temptations of the devil to not go because of fear. Somebody's going to yell at me. I'm frightened of God. I'm fearful of God. Well, that's why the divine mercy was introduced in the 1930s, because Jesus said in this century, the devil would tempt people to be frightened of God. And so he wants them to realize the great mercy that he has, and that there is no sin that is so scarlet that cannot be forgiven if the soul is truly contrite and atones for one's sin. And atonement and repentance means to change one's mind. And there's where the rubber hits the road, because many times in our imaginations, we feed our own fears about damnation or being rejected or knowing that I'm a sinner, and even in repetitive or habitual sin, I couldn't possibly be forgiven. And it goes on and on and on until we are quite seduced to believe, well, everybody else may be forgiven, but not me, because I am such a terrible sinner. The priest had better honor the person who goes to confession, because God knows the fight that he might have had or she might have had interiorly. Some people come in, there are occasions, in fear and trembling. They've had to work up a lot of courage to come to confession, especially if they've been away a long time, or if there are a particular sin or sin that they feel is most heinous, and consequently that priest is going to yell at them, maybe even throw them out of confession, excommunicate them on the spot. God have mercy on the priest that we do that. For repentance, we must be pastoral, as you must be pastoral with your own children. Pastoral means care of souls. Just as you care for your children in all kinds of ways as they're growing up and grow out, and you always are concerned about them. So the concept of the pastoral care in the Catholic Church is very much that one stands as an altar Christus, is another Christ welcoming people to come into the sacrament of reconciliation, to receive his forgiveness and go out and be that much more strong. You know, I have to tell you about the priesthood. There's a lot of things that we do, and a lot of it is listening to the most intimate things that are going on in a person's life. And sometimes it's the first time or only time that they have ever said the unthinkable and the unspeakable. And when the priest is encountering that in counseling, as I would, but especially in the sacrament of reconciliation, we are both the penitent and the priest on holy ground. That has to be listened and honored. An encouragement to change one's mind and repent is always there, and to encourage frequent confession, because it's an acting out of our baptismal promises, where I said in my baptism, or my godparents said it for me, or in the sacrament of confirmation, I said it. I renounced the power of the evil one, and I professed I believe in three persons in one God, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sanctifier. A priest falls in love with the human condition every time he hears confession. The priest is graced and gifted to hear real humility, to realize that things happen in people's life, sometime of our own choosing. Sometimes we are victimized by particular sin. Whatever the situation may be, that is a holy moment. Now understand that the word holy means in the scriptures healthy. The word in the scriptures holy means healthy. You do a holy thing and a healthy thing and a whole thing. You invite medicinal grace into the fissures and cracks and chasms that are going on in one's soul. You receive grace to be a healthy person in the community. It brings from the person who has received confession a sense of respecting others that I didn't have before, because I am filled with a sense of self-esteem and respect because God has restored me to my baptismal grace. But because we live in the world and the devil is all over the place, our senses are constantly pummeled and our memories are constantly ripped open and our fears are legion and our anger and rage high. And everything that we see going on in the culture can help us to lose respect for the human condition, to distrust people in all arrays, governments, church leaders, politicians, doctors, business people. We distrust instead of trusting in the Lord, because we then become, as Francis of Assisi calls us, an instrument of peace. I am much more capable of peace and loving kindness when I have his grace. So I suggest to you that you continue to do what we're supposed to do, and you do so beautifully, and I brag about you. I have to tell you, when I meet with our community, other friars, and with other diocesan priests, about how faithful you are to the sacrament of confession, which is the call of our baptismal grace and the influence of the Holy Spirit, who pesters and pummels us. He's the first mover, and we are moved to approach the sacrament of reconciliation. And the graces that I received, I then become an instrument of grace and graciousness to others. What a gift we have in our sacramental system. The other day, I received a lot of chocolate from my sister. And I thought, I can't eat all this by myself, much as I would love to. It has an effect on me like 4 cups of coffee. So I put it in a kind of basket, and I went over to the school to give it out. And they were playing on the football field, second, third, fourth graders. I ran out eventually, to my sadness and their disappointment. But I kept saying to them, one piece per person, one piece per person, one piece per person, and these hands are dipping in. It was the same day that we were having that evening first confessions for the second graders. And so the second graders were feasting in anticipation of that special day. And so one per person, and of course, nature being what it is, some chose to ignore that. Their will, they're hungry, it's chocolate. And so one little boy comes to me when I ran out, and he whispered to me, pulling my habit down, so he would whisper in my ear, I saw 3 second graders take 2 pieces. It's a good thing we're having confessions tonight.